All right, let's begin our service with the reading of Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read the first 9 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our citizenship, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, let's stand together as Jonathan leads us in singing our call to worship.
Remember, Lord, the blood and sweat of him who more than paid my debt. Remember Christ upon the tree, and now be merciful to me. Remember
with me to page 299, day by day, 299. Gives unto each day what he needs.
charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble me, ere to from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Turn back a few pages to 226. 226, my Savior.
Skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. I only know at his right hand is one who is my Savior. I take him at his word indeed. Christ died for sinners, this I read. For in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior. That he should leave his place on high and come for sinful man to die, you count it strange, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. The travail of his soul in me, and with his work none tempted me, as I with my dear Savior. Yea, living, dying, let me bring my strength, my solace from this spring, that he who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior.
Let's open our Bibles now to Judges chapter 13. Judges 13, you may want to mark this. We'll be coming back and looking at a few different places and chapters here in Judges 13 throughout the message this morning. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. And I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord, and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee, until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou would offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret, wonderful? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we've seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And we'll end our reading there. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great God, our holy, sovereign, merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank you that you are God, that you're God alone, ruling and reigning, and none can stay your hand. None can stop or delay your purpose. Your purpose of mercy and grace to your people, of salvation through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we bow before you this morning, praying that you would send your Spirit upon us and give us an hour of true worship. We know that you have all the power, all the right to be merciful to whom you will be merciful, to be gracious unto whom you will be gracious. So, Father, we beg of thee that you'd be merciful and gracious to your people this morning. We pray that you would bear your mighty right arm of power, your mercy and grace to your people in the Lord Jesus Christ, and reveal Christ to our hearts this morning through the preaching of your word. Enable us to see and to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, to rest in him, to leave here this morning with faith in him and confidence, trust and rest for our souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. Enable us to worship him this morning, to lift up and praise the name of Christ our Savior, that name which is above every name. And let us leave here this morning with that precious name in our hearts and on our lips, in our minds. Let us go home and think about and meditate and feed upon the things of Christ that we've heard this day that you've given us to meet together and to worship. And Father, I thank you for this place. I thank you that you've given us a place where we can meet together in peace and in unity with one heartfelt desire to worship Christ our Savior, to hear of Him, to hear His gospel preached. And Father, I pray you'd preserve it and protect it. I pray that you'd give each of us a wise heart that would earnestly protect the unity that we have here, the unity of the Spirit, that we would not allow the desire for the praise of our flesh and the notice of our flesh to become preeminent and disrupt what you've given us here, a place of worship. Protect it and preserve it, Father. We pray for your great name's sake, for your glory, that your glory might be preached and proclaimed in this place. And we beg this great blessing for ourselves. Ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, our community, that this might be a place where poor sinners can come and hear the Savior, where your poor and weak and needy sheep can come and be fed, to lay down, to be made to lay down in the green pastures of your word, to be led beside the deep, still waters of Christ our Savior. And Father, we pray for those who are sick and who are afflicted. It seems like that there are so many at this time who are hurting so bad, who face uncertainty and loss and sickness and pain. Father, I pray you'd be with them. I pray you'd speak peace to the hearts of your people. And as soon as it could be thy will, Father, that you'd provide a way out, that you'd lead and guide according to the riches of your wisdom and your mercy and your grace towards your people. Now, Father, again, we pray you'd bless us. Bless us this morning with your word. Cause your word to run well in the power of thy Spirit this morning. All these things we ask, and we give thanks in that great name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Isaac Floyd's going to come and give us a special at this time.
Just as that thief hung on the tree, next to Christ, the surety. Oh Lord, remember us. Oh Lord, remember us. And as Stephen was being stoned, and God stood up there at his throne, oh Lord, remember us. Oh Lord, remember us. 'Cause some will stand before the throne, but some will stand in Christ alone. Oh Lord, remember us. Come back. trumpet sound, and all the saints rise from the ground. Oh Lord, remember us. Oh Lord, remember us. 'Cause some will stand before the throne, but some will stand in Christ alone. Oh Lord, remember us. Oh Lord, remember us. Oh Lord, remember us. Oh Lord, remember us.
All right, if you would, let's begin opening our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Verses served as our text or springing off point for a few weeks, and Lord willing, for a few weeks more, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11. I titled the message this morning, The Faith of Samson. The writer here in Hebrews 11, verse 32 says, "And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." Now, before the Lord gave Israel a king, Israel was ruled by judges. And one of those judges was a man named Samson. Now, Samson is a very well-known man, isn't he? And he's well-known for two things, primarily. He's known for great strength and great weakness. He's known for his great physical strength. And he's known for his weakness, bad taste in women. And this morning, I hope to show you how both of those things, both of those traits, are types of our Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of his people. Now, in a way, Samson is a type of all of us. Samson was a man of flesh, just like you and me. Men and women alike. Men and women alike. Samson loved women who God's law forbid him to marry. He knew God's law forbid him to marry these women, and he went after them anyway. Samson loved women based upon their looks, all the while ignoring the fact that they did not love nor worship his God, but instead stood opposed to him. And that got Samson in trouble every single time, without exception. Now, we can identify, can't we? How often do men love a woman because of her good looks and ignore the fact she's just not a nice person? I mean, you see that happen often, don't you? And women, hang on now, you can identify with Samson too. How often do you see women loving a bad boy? Oh, he got good looks. He's a bad boy, though, I'm telling you. Well, I worked at a convenience store. You know, we'd hire young people all the time, and invariably, it seemed like this young girl would start working for us, and she's doing so good. Oh, she's just doing great. And suddenly, her work just drops off the charts, and you think, what happened? Almost every single time, it was the boy she got. I'm just telling you, it's just women love bad boys for some reason. I don't know. And what I wish is this. Oh, this is what I wish, that men would be men. I mean, in the biblical sense of the word, that men would be men, strong and gracious and kind, wise, and that women, and that they would marry women who are women, ladies, in the biblical sense of the word, and vice versa. I wish our ladies would be ladies and marry men who are men. That's what I wish. I think our lives would be happier. I know our lives would be better off for it. But Samson did not do that. And Samson suffered greatly for it. So in that way, Samson is a type of us. But if that's all we get from this story, don't sin and don't make bad choices, or you'll suffer for it. If that's all we get from this story, we've missed the blessing. See, if that's all we get from this story, don't sin, well, we're going to be discouraged because we can't stop sinning. And if all we get from this story is don't make bad choices and make right choices, we're going to be discouraged. Because spiritually, we cannot make good choices. Our sin nature always chooses sin and self and never chooses Christ and His righteousness. The blessing in the story of Samson is how Samson is a type of Christ. See, the Word of God never tells us how to live by giving us moral stories. If you want that, find the book of Aesop's Fables. That's not what the Word of God's written for, because we fail at being moral. We fail at being moral. You already know what's right and wrong. Our problem is we can't do it. The Word of God is written to reveal Christ, the Savior of sinners. He is the Word of God. So if we want to find a blessing in this passage, in any passage, we've got to find Christ in it. And I believe the Spirit of God has given that to me this morning to give to you. Now, if you'll look back at Judges chapter 13, I want to show us three or four things here. Number one is this. Samson is a type of Christ in his birth. That's what we read to open the service, or in our scripture reading in Judges 13. This angel that came and appeared to Manoah and to his wife, this angel is the Lord Jesus Christ. He appeared to this barren woman and told her, you're going to have a son. Now, this is a miracle. This woman's barren. She cannot bear a child, yet this angel appeared and told her, you're going to have a child. Just like that angel came and told Mary that you're going to have a son, even though it was impossible for her to have a son. She's a virgin, yet she's going to bear a son. And I know this angel that came to Manoah's wife was the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant, because look what he says his name is in verse 18. The angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it a secret? It's wonderful. His name is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And his name is secret in this way. His name must be revealed. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 19. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. Now this is no mere angel. No mere angel, no created being would have dared touch that sacrifice or identify with that sacrifice by getting in the smoke of it and ascending back to heaven. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, who this sacrifice pictured, could ever do that. So this shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ came not to damn, but to save. Verse 22, Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we've seen God. But his wife said unto him, oh, aren't we thankful for a wise wife? His wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. The Lord wouldn't have promised us we're going to have a son, and this son is going to begin to deliver Israel if he's going to kill us right now. The Lord's not going to do that. See, Christ came to save sinners. That's why he came. He sent the gospel to you. Now you believe it. You today, right now, where you sit, you believe it. Christ came to save sinners. He sent us the gospel that reveals Christ, our Savior. So Samson was a type of Christ in his birth. And also he's a type of Christ in his early youth. He was early about this business of beginning to deliver Israel. Look here at verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now Samson, early in his life, was moving around between these camps, and he was scouting out the Philistines. He was scouting out, learning how the Philistines operate. He was doing that early in his youth. Isn't that just like our Lord Jesus? Who said early in his life, 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business. So Samson is a type of Christ in his birth. Then second, Samson is a type of Christ in killing a lion with his bare hands. In Judges 14, verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath. and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him, he tore his throat out, that's what that word means, as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And here Samson is walking down to another village, and we'll come back to this in a moment. He's going down to a village, to a woman he ought not have been loving. And on his way there, he meets this lion. This lion had been hiding in the weeds and jumped out and roared to kill Samson. That lion had been stalking and hunting Samson, and it jumped out and roared at Samson right at the very point when he thought he had Samson just exactly where he wanted him. And Samson, with his bare hands, reached out and grabbed hold of that lion. I mean, the lion. And ripped his throat out. Wow! I mean, can you imagine the strength and the courage that took? Wow! But now that's given to us as a picture of Christ our Redeemer, who has defeated Satan, that lion, roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour, sneaking around in the weeds, hunting, trying to trap and kill God's people. Our Savior destroyed Satan with his bare hands at Calvary. Right when Satan thought he had the Savior exactly where he wanted him, with his bare hands, the Savior destroyed him. Crushed his head and put him out of business. And sweetness to God's people came from that defeat. Look here at verse 8 in Judges 14. And after a time, he returned to take her, this woman that he loved, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a lion. Now, sweetness, this sweetness of the gospel, it comes from Christ's victory over our enemies. Over every enemy of his people, over Satan. Yes, at Calvary, the Savior crushed Satan's head. But at Calvary, the Savior also put away the sin of his people. The sin that would damn them, he put away. He removed the sting of death for his people, so they don't have to fear death. He took away the fear of hell for his people by suffering it for them. He took the law out of the way by obeying it for his people and obeying its last demand, there be death for sin. Sweetness, all the sweetness that comes to God's people through the victory of Christ our Savior. And that sweetness comes from the most unlikely source, doesn't it? It would seem very unlikely to find such sweetness as honey in the carcass of a lion. I mean, I don't know how often that happens, but it seems to me like that would be pretty rare. Well, to our way of thinking, to human logic, it seems very unlikely that we'd find such sweetness in the death of God's Son. But that, in the death of Christ, that's where all sweetness, the sweetness of God's grace is found, in the death of Christ. There's no sweeter story to be told than Christ and Him crucified. All right, thirdly, Samson is a type of Christ in winning the victory through His people, through a picture of preaching. Now, Samson had gone, and he burned up the crops of the Philistines and killed several of their men. What they did was they took his first wife from him, gave him to another. And then they killed her. So Samson in retribution burned up their crops. But now the Philistines, of course, are not going to let that stand. So Judges 15, we'll pick up our story here in verse 9. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why are you come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? And what is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves." They spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords, and they brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. Now it just doesn't seem possible that Samson could kill 1,000 well-armed, well-trained soldiers all by himself. Especially when his only weapon that he had in his hand was a jawbone of an ass he found laying there on the ground. I mean, you think what a strength, or a feat of strength and power that must have been to kill 1,000 men single-handedly. Samson just broke off those cords that were binding him like they were nothing, picked up a jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 soldiers. But that's given to us as a picture of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ destroyed every enemy of his people by breaking off the bands of death like they were nothing, and by his power, raising himself from the dead. And when he did that, he destroyed every enemy. Every enemy was put away from his people. Well, all right, what about the jawbone of this ass? Well, the only thing that can possibly be a picture of is preaching the gospel. That's the only thing to be a picture of. God uses to preach his gospel the jawbone of an ass. He uses the mouth of a man who was born unclean and stubborn. That's who God uses to preach his gospel. And the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, is the only weapon we need to save God's people and to deliver them. We don't need psychology. We don't need, the tricks to get people to do what we want them to do. We don't need to use tricks to get people to come in the door. God draw his people. The only thing we need to set God's people free is the preaching of the gospel. All right. Those are all pictures of Christ, ways that Samson pictured our Lord Jesus Christ. But that wasn't what the writer of the Hebrews was talking about, was it? He didn't say Samson's a picture of Christ. He said that by faith, Samson delivered Israel. He did this. Something he did was by faith. Well, what is it that Samson did by faith? What is it, this act of faith, this act of great faith that the writer of the Hebrews is talking about? It's his death. In his death, by faith, he did this by faith to deliver Israel. And this is the fourth thing I want us to see. Samson's faith is seen in his death, which is a picture of Christ. This is how God delivered his people. Now, like I said, Samson, this fellow is hard to figure out. He's known for his great strength, his great valor, his belief in God. And he's also known for his weakness, which seems to be almost as great, doesn't it? But isn't that how true faith is seen in every believer? It is. In every believer, there is faith, the strength of God-given faith. And it's in a body that is so weak, a body of flesh that is so weak. It's Samson's weakness. This was his weakness. It's his bad taste in women. You always find Samson loving idolaters who hated God, who could only ever make him fall into sin and fall away from the Lord. Judges 16, verse 1, we meet such a woman. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. Now, you don't need me to tell you, Samson was wrong in this. He's wrong. This woman is a harlot, and she's a Philistine. She's a heathen. God's law had forbidden this. And we should never follow Samson in his example here, going into a harlot or tying ourselves to a spouse that hates God and would never worship God with us. Because if we follow Samson's example, it will open up our souls to great danger, just like it opened up Samson to great danger. Look at verse 2. It was told the Gazites, saying, Samson's come hither, and they compassed him. They compassed him in, and they circled him, surrounded him, and they lay wait for him all night in the gate of the city. and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and he went away with them, and bar and all, and put them on his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is beyond Hebron. Now, Samson was wrong to open his life up to danger by being with this harlot. But in this way, Samson is a type of Christ. In his great strength, an unimaginable feat of strength, Samson took the gates of the city, barred off the post. I mean, you think, now, I mean, these things are not light. I mean, you can imagine how far down they sunk those posts into the ground, hold up those gates. Samson just picked them up, posts and all, put them on his back, and carried them away, took to the top of the hill. That's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by his great strength, in a feat of unimaginable strength and power, put away the sin of his people. Isaiah prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to set the prisoner free. This was the text our Lord used in his first public message. He said, this day this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. I've come to set the prisoner free. Well, Christ set his people free, not just by unlocking and opening the gates of the prison, but he tore them off the hinges and he took them away, so that they could never hold his people captive to the law anymore. Carried it away. But you know, this woman, this harlot that Samson fell in love with, this wasn't the first woman like this he fell in love with, and it won't be the last. Now, flip back for a moment to Judges chapter 14. Here's the first woman like this that Samson loved. Judges 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? Isn't there a good Jewish girl here you can fall in love with, or among all thy people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Why are you doing this? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now Samson, he loved this Philistine woman, and he ended up marrying her. Now, he shouldn't have done it. God's law forbid it, and it caused so much death and destruction of this marriage with this woman. And then, I mean, he shouldn't have done it, but he did. And he didn't learn his lesson, because then he went into this harlot. And then, we're going to see this in a few minutes, Samson went down and fell in love with a woman named Delilah. Now, you cannot tell, it's impossible to tell the story of Samson without Delilah. Samson just had such bad taste in women. This was his weakness. And it ended up killing him. His bad taste in women ended up killing him. But you know what? Samson's bad taste in women is one of the great pictures, one of the great ways that Samson pictures our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it was wrong for Samson to be with this woman, God forbid it. But Samson chose those women by faith. I'm going to show you that. Look here at verse 4, Judges 14. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. It was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. This was of the Lord. The Lord moved Samson to choose these women so he could be a type of Christ, setting Israel free. And he set his people free. He set Israel free through his relationship with these women, these bad taste in women, harlots and sinful heathen. See where I'm going here? Those women are a picture of Christ's bride. They're a picture of Christ's bride. The sinful, sinful, harlot, shameful people that the Son of God loved. They're a picture of Christ's bride and how he set them free from their sin. Now, look back at Judges 16. Let's look at this story of Samson and Delilah. Verse 6. Verse 4, Judges 16. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Now here Samson goes. He's doing it again. He never learns his lesson, does he? He's fallen in love with this heathen harlot. And we believe she was a harlot. Her name, Delilah, means languishing. And we don't think this is the name. This is a very shameful name. We don't think this is the name her parents gave her. We believe this is the name the men of the town gave her. Because she's languishing. She's a harlot. And the name that the part of the meaning of the word woman that's used there, the woman Delilah, it means an adulteress. That's part of the meaning of the word. And the men in town knew this about Delilah. They knew her character. They knew she could be bought. And she could be enticed to use her feminine wiles to destroy Samson. But all this is being done as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came to save a bride that inexplicably he loved. He loved her from eternity. But she's a disgrace. I mean, she is a disgrace. She is not the kind of girl you want to bring home to meet your parents. You know, Samson's parents asking, can't you find a good Jewish girl here? No, she's not a good Jewish girl. She's nothing but sin. She's a heathen. She's a harlot. She hates God. She's a rebel against him. Yet Christ loved her. He set his affection upon her from all of eternity. She didn't do anything to earn his love, did she? But he set his affection upon her. And he determined, I'm going to do whatever it takes to have her. And he came and did it. And you know what that sinful bride cost him? It cost him his life. Cost him his life. One of his friends would betray him for a few pieces of silver. Just like Delilah would betray Samson for a few pieces of silver. Now verse 6. Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith. And said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou now say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thus mocked me these 3 times, and hath not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. Now, Robert Hawker wrote a commentary, called it the Poor Man's Commentary. And he will often say in his Poor Man's Commentary about a passage of Scripture, he says, this is so obvious, there's no need for me to swell the pages of this book saying anything about it. Well, that would apply to these verses, wouldn't it? However, let me swell the pages just a moment. I want to give you understand what this is saying. But let me reiterate it. Let me say it again. I want to warn our unmarried young people about what these verses are saying, and you pay close attention. If you grow up and you marry someone who openly says to you, I will not worship your God. I will not sit under that gospel. Here or someplace else where the gospel is preached. They just don't have, they won't do it. They don't like it. They don't have a taste for it. Like Brother Marvin told us about Thursday night. They don't have a taste for it. And they say, I just won't do it. I won't have it. And you marry them anyway. You can expect this to happen to you. You can just expect it. Maybe the Lord will bless it. But you can't count on that. You can count on this very thing happening to you. I warn you now. I warn you because you cannot imagine what you mean to me. You cannot imagine how you're on my heart. And if you do this, it will break my heart. And so I warn you, out of great, great love for you, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Samson should have known what's going on here, shouldn't he? I mean, come on, Samson. I mean, she was probably a beautiful woman. But now, come on, Samson. You've got to see what's going on here. But he kept going back. He kept going back. He kept going back. That done, wasn't it? Yet, it's a picture of Christ our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ came down. Came down to this earth because he loved his people. He loved his bride. And he came knowing full well what he was doing. Knowing that it would cost him his life. But he came anyway. And he kept going after her. He kept going after her. He kept going after her. He set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem and would not be deterred because of his great love for his bride. Now, verse 16. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. And he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now Delilah nagged Samson. She nagged him and she nagged him and she nagged him to death until she finally got her way. And Samson told her the truth. He told her how he could be taken and killed. And then, after telling her that, he lay down asleep in her lap. Come on, Samson. I mean, come on. How stupid. It sounds like Samson's just trying to give himself to the Philistines. You know, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, did. He went exactly where he knew a mob would be, wanting to take him. And he went there, and he gave himself willingly into their hands so they could bind him and afflict him and do to him as they pleased. Now, Samson, his power was taken away so the Philistines could take him with him. Our Lord did not give his power away. They didn't take him because he was powerless. Oh, no. No, he asked them, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they fell flat on their back. Oh, no. He made sure they knew, you're not taking me so I have any power. No, you're taking me in my power. In my power. You're taking me because I have the power. I only have the power to set my people free from their sin. I have the power to deliver my bride and to give her life. So you're taking me in my power. You're not the ones in control here. I am. And he went willingly in his power to save his people. But when Samson awoke, he didn't know it at first, but he figured it out right quick. The Lord had departed from him. His strength was not there, and the Philistines took him. Well, Calvary, the strength, the beauty of Christ our Savior was taken from him when he was made sin. It was such an ugly sight to the Father. The Father turned his back on him. The Father refused to look on him in love and pity. So the Savior cried out. He wasn't asking this question for his information. He was asking it so we would know. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He asked that question so we'd know. Because of the sin of his people being laid upon him, the Father forsook him. The Father took his loving presence away from his Son. His Son was made sin for his people. The Father could not look on him in love because he had been made sin. And instead of looking on him in love, the Father poured out his wrath, poured out all of his wrath for sin upon his Son as the sacrifice for the sin of his people. And the Savior willingly endured all that humiliation. He willingly endured all that pain. He willingly endured death. Because he loved his bride. He loved her. And this is the only way she could be set free. Verse 21. But the Philistines took him. And they put out, they bored out his eyes. They took an awl and bored out his eyes. And brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. The Philistines bored out Samson's eyes. I mean, I can't imagine the pain of that. I mean, I wear contacts, and sometimes I put that contact in, and boy, it's just not in there just right. Or if it gets buckled, you all wear contacts, you've done that, that contact just buckles a little bit, and you think, just look here. Can you imagine having an awl and boring your eye out? Oh, the pain of that. But you know, that's a picture of Christ our Savior. At Calvary, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, could not see His Father's smiling face. He said in Psalm 40, "Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. I'm not able to look up." He couldn't see. He couldn't see His Father's loving presence. He couldn't see His Father's mercy and grace. And He suffered in darkness. Suffering, soul suffering, that is unimaginable to us. Yet he suffered it willingly for his great love for his people. I've been looking at this week and just thought about me personally as a husband. That's mighty humbling, isn't it? Isn't that humbling? The Word of God tells husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. God make us able to do a little bit of that. To suffer a little bit. Whatever it takes for her. This is what our Savior did for his people. He took the sin of his people. And he suffered for it. Willingly. Willingly. With joy. With joy. The joy that was set before him. The joy of seeing her redeemed. Clothed in the wedding garment of his righteousness. On his arm. At the wedding supper of the Lamb. He did that willingly with joy. Well, verse 22. Howbeit the hair of his head, Samson's head, began to grow again. After he was shaven. Samson's strength begins to return to him as his hair grew back. Now, here he is. He's in bondage and he's blind. But now his strength's back. The Philistines just couldn't see it. Now, like I said a minute ago, the Savior, he never lost his strength. His strength, his power is God. He was made sin, but never lost his holiness. He was made sin, but he was never unrighteous. He was made sin, but never made sinful. And Christ gave himself. Willingly he gave himself to those who would crucify him, but they were never in control. He was always the one controlling everything, wasn't he? Pilate tried to let him go, he couldn't. Because this thing wasn't happening according to Pilate's will. This is happening according to the Savior's will. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and He died in power. Power to save. Power to cleanse from sin. Power to give life. God's people can see that, can't they? But the self-righteous, they can't see it. The Philistines couldn't see His strength was coming back. So verse 23, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, their idol, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. When you read and hear what the Pharisees, what they said at the cross, sounds like the very same joy, the very same satisfaction in their idols, wasn't it? As they watched the Lord Jesus suffer. Well, verse 25, it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. You know, maybe they were smacking him and saying, who hit you? They're hitting him and saying, who hit you? You know, you're this judge, you're this prophet, can you tell who hit you? Just like they did our Lord. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. That's the song what Isaac sang just a minute ago. Lord, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Now Samson's death was an act of faith. This is the faith that the writer to the Hebrews was talking about. By an act of faith, Samson gave his life and delivered Israel from bondage to the Philistines. We know it was an act of faith because he was calling on the Lord in prayer and asking the Lord, depending upon the Lord, to give him the strength to do it. Now, think of all the great feats of Samson's life and how many of the enemy he killed in his life. But he killed many more than that in his death. More in his death than in his life. So he delivered Israel by his death. He took hold of the two pillars that held up the house and tore them down. And killed all those Philistines and delivered Israel. Now that's a picture of our Savior who worked many miracles during his earthly ministry. He healed the sick and the lame. He raised the dead. He fed the hungry by creating food. He controlled the weather and the seas. But his greatest act was in his death. When by his death, he delivered his people from their sin. By putting it away under the blood of his sacrifice. And even as he suffered and died, he couldn't see the loving presence of his Father. He couldn't feel the love of his Father. But he never lost faith in his Father. He never doubted that his Father would accept his sacrifice and that he would accept everyone for whom he was dying. And in great strength, the Lord Jesus Christ took hold of the two pillars that were holding up condemnation over his people, the law, justice. And he bowed himself and he tore those two pillars down in dying for his people. He bowed himself in strength and willingly gave up his life to give his people salvation. And God's people are set free. They're set free. Because Christ loved and he died for a sinful, undeserving people. Samson died along with all the Philistines. Isn't that how our Savior died? He died numbered with the transgressors, putting their sin away in his great love and power for his people. Samson died by the hand of the woman he loved. So did Christ our Savior. willingly died by the hand of that beloved bride that the Father gave on him. Died bearing her sin and putting it away. Reckon she loves him? I'd say she does. Let's bow. Our Father, how we thank you. How we thank you for the clear declaration of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for this clear demonstration that Christ our Savior loves a bride who's unlovable. She's ugly. She's defiled with sin. She's a wretch, a harlot, an adulteress. Yet he set his love upon her and did everything necessary to redeem her from her sin, to clothe her in his righteousness, make her beautiful in his beauty, which he put upon her. Father, how we thank you. Oh, how we thank you. And how we pray that you'd allow us to leave here this morning in faith in this beloved bridegroom who did everything it was necessary to save his people from their sin. Father, reveal him to our hearts by faith, we pray. Enable us to praise him and to love him and follow him all the days of our lives. It's in his precious name we pray and give thanks. All right, Jonathan.
If you would stand and turn with me to page 228. My faith has found a resting place. 228.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves this. He died.